Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of sharing the gospel, this is Wretched Radio with tears in a tissue. I read this headline from a George Barna survey. Most Christians, did you hear that? Most Christians, Friel, we heard it the first time. Most Christians, that would be four times, say doing good things is enough to go to heaven. And yet, I see an opportunity for the church to clarify the gospel, not first with the world, but for ourselves. How can we present the gospel rightly if we don't know it ourselves? Evangelism does that. That is one of the fruits of evangelism. You got to learn the gospel. At least you should, or you're just going to go out and create more false converts. You've got to understand that the gospel is judicial. It is about law. You're under the curse of the law. You're a lawbreaker. You're a criminal in the eyes of God. And he is going to cut you down, and he's going to drag you into a courtroom, and he will sentence you because the books have been meticulously kept, and you will be sentenced for eternity. Not annihilationism, eternity. Why? Because his character and his nature demands it. Because he's so high, he's so holy, he's so lofty, he's so eternal, crimes against the sovereign, the offenses against our maker, they warrant eternal conscious torment. That is the bad news of the gospel. The good news is that Jesus died for criminals. He became a criminal, was seen as a criminal by the Father so that you and I could be set free, that we could be forgiven. That's justification. That's the gospel. And if we don't know that, what are we going to do? We're just going to make a dog's breakfast of it. I think it could have been as many as 15 years ago. Could be wrong. Maybe 10, 12, somewhere in that neighborhood. This is not a new phenomenon. This is something really that Ray Comfort helped me to see when I met him 25 years ago. The law must precede the gospel. And that's when it dawned on me, we have lost the gospel. And so we created a resource called Gospel Clarity, because as I continued to listen to different gospel presentations, I tried to do it with an etch-a-sketch brain. I don't know anything about Christianity. Can I listen to this guy's gospel presentation and get it? And the answer over and over again was not a chance. Not a chance. If I didn't know anything, it would be like, what? Just like a Gatling gun, just shooting all over the place, but never aiming for the target. I mean, we're missing the bullseye. We're talking all around it, and we're using evangelical lingo so that when we hear a gospel presentation, we get it, but the etch-a-sketch brain doesn't. And so I think that has been an issue for at least 15 years, identifying we've got to do better at clarifying the gospel. And so when I read this Barna report, tragically, I'm not surprised. It is our human position. Our starting line at the block is works. We're going to do stuff. We're going to do things. We're going to get to the finish line. That's not the gospel. The gospel would say, no, you're at the starting blocks. That is most certainly true. But you're lying there dead. Jesus picks you up and he takes you to the finish line. It's all of Christ. We love working. And Jesus is the stumbling block who says, your works aren't good. They're not good enough. They're just not good. Because good enough implies that, well, maybe if I just did more of them or better of them, I'd have a shot at this. No, your righteous deeds are like filthy rags. and you can only get to the finish line through me. That's the stumbling block of the gospel. And it appears that we have not been making that clear. I think this survey reveals it. People think that they can get to the finish line through their works. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, who was the survey? Who was the pollster? Well, it was George Barna, and he interviewed Catholics, Protestants, born-again Christian, evangelical Christians. And I got to tell you, it's kind of heartbreaking, if you don't mind me saying so. 53% of Christians, now this is just self-identified Christians, agree a person who is generally good, problem right there, we're not generally good, or does enough good things for others will earn a place in heaven. Now, let's break it down, James Brown. 73% were Catholics. Now, the good news is 27% of those Catholics are not good Catholics at all. That's actually good news, because hopefully they're believing that you need Jesus totally to go to heaven. Nevertheless, we'd expect that Catholics would be leading the way when it came to works. They believe doing good things is enough to secure a place in heaven. That is their dogma. What about evangelicals? Would you like to guess the number of evangelicals? Jimmy, would you like to play the federal head and represent tens and tens of people listening?
No.
Come on. How many evangelicals think that doing good works gets you to heaven? It should be zero.
It should be zero, but I want to say it's probably more than 50%.
Yeah, 43%.
Wow.
So you don't get any showcases, but you're pretty close. 43%. Mainline Protestants, 43%. What? Theologically born again Christians. Okay, so Barna actually does a decent job of this. He doesn't just let somebody say, I'm a Christian, and therefore, okay, now I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. Here's the results. No, he drills down. He asks them questions like, how often do you read your Bible? How often do you go to church? Do you battle sin? And what about your giving? What about your attitude toward people with different skin colors? He tries to, do you have a conversion story? And he calls those people then born again Christians. Jimmy, evangelicals, 43%. Now, evangelicals should be born again Christians. Nevertheless, he makes a distinction.
Okay.
Born again would be even a more serious professor than an evangelical. Evangelicals, 43% said good works get you to heaven. What about born again Christians?
Less than 20%.
42%.
Wow.
42%.
Identical.
Pentecostals, 41%. Independent and non-denominational churches, 35%. What in the world? Pastor, you need to know that. You've got people most likely sitting in your congregation who don't know the gospel. We can't preach it enough, and we must preach it in its totality. And that's why, as dreadful as this study is, I also see it as an opportunity and perhaps an encouragement for you if you have been shy about proclaiming the gospel. If the gospel, it wouldn't be called that because works aren't good news, but if the gospel were, hey, do more good than bad and you get to go to heaven, I would hate having to present that message. Think about that for a moment. Your next door neighbor, whatever your relationship status is with them, your next door, you want to witness to your next door neighbor. Ding dong, hi neighbor, here's a banana bread. You need to do more good works so you can get to heaven. Would you like to go to heaven? Okay, do more stuff. Start out by edging your lawn and making sure the kids' toys are off the driveway every night. Do good stuff and you get to heaven. Have a nice day. That would be a horrible message. That would be, I've got to go tell somebody to shape up or they're going to get shipped out to hell. But what if, let's imagine, the gospel said, your works are filthy rags. They earn you nothing with God except damnation because they're all tainted with sin. Would you like some good news? Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, fulfilled all righteousness and became a curse for you, that you might become the righteousness of God and you can go to heaven scot-free, courtesy of Jesus Christ. Would you like that gift? Would you like everlasting life? Run to Jesus, free and clear. If the Son sets you free, you're going to be free indeed. He paid it all. Would you like to go to heaven? How's about some good news? You can have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. This should cause us to go, okay, we've got it. This is not an onerous thing. Telling somebody that they get to go to heaven courtesy of another, that's awesome news. And I think this survey should motivate us. If people are laboring underneath the wrongheaded notion that their works take them to heaven, and we're talking about professing born-again Christians, evangelicals, that are about half of them, give or take, think that they can their works contribute to their salvation or earn them salvation. We got to get on it. We got to clarify the gospel. We've got to return to the judicial nature of the gospel. And we've got to remember the gospel is staggering good news. This should not cause us to go, I got to share my faith with somebody, I guess. I got to give out a gospel. You get to give away gold. You and I get to proclaim incredibly good news. The only question, I guess, is what are we waiting for? This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith? That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose.
Hermeneutics. The Bible is not a manual. While it should be read literally, the books fit into a variety of genres, including narrative, poetry, prophecy, and epistle. How we understand and apply Scripture begins with identifying what genre we are reading. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And this is why we want to go to more university campuses. This is Wretched Radio. 2025, we went to 4 campuses. 2026, we're planning at least 12. Why? Because we want to do more than have a skirmish with students. We don't want to go and battle and fight and argue over this and that. And they will deal with those issues that are on their mind. But we're going to bat those away as fast as we can to do what? To lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the university students know his sacred name. That is what we want to see happen in 2026. I bring that up for two reasons. Number one, would you help us do that? This is a new initiative. This is our big initiative for 2026. We're going traveling a lot and doing a lot of evangelism and a lot of events so that students can hear great news, that your sins can be forgiven. Bonus, you'll be given direction in life. He'll begin the healing process of your mind. He'll start to help you see things right. He'll give you a path, and he will give you the instructions that you need to be the man or the woman that you always wanted to be and that God wants you to be. We want to proclaim that. Would you partner with us? Year-end giving is a big deal. We really do need your support at this time of year. It's a really big deal. We have a matching gift campaign. Your gift doubles, and you can see all of the things that we do, not just the campus ministry stuff, everything that we do here at Fortis Institute, and it is a lot. FortisInstitute.org/donate, FortisInstitute.org/donate. You say, Todd, there was a second reason. Here it is. Because people are confused about the gospel. People are confused about what it means to go to heaven. People are confused about Jesus Christ. This George Barna survey, it makes it clear. There is so much confusion. On my stack, sitting on my radio desk, I guess I could go looking for them. There's just so many studies that are being done. And while we're seeing a couple of good things happening, I do think that this is not revival. This is curiosity. And that's a good thing. At least the temperature has been turned down on the university campuses. At least that's my perception. That people are like, okay, tell me. I'd like to know because it ain't working. It ain't working. You got something that works? Tell me about it. I'm interested in hearing that. They're open to hearing the gospel. Now that doesn't mean they're any nearer to salvation, but it does mean that we can have conversations, and we need to get to the place where they're willing to have them. And for my money, the university campus is it. There are other places. There are places you can go and things that you can do to give away the gospel. But whatever you do, please consider how you might go about the business of sharing staggering good news. As we heard from George Barna, half of professing Christians think that works get you to heaven. That is a massive drag. And that makes us no different than any other religion, because it is only biblical Christianity that says grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Case in point of the blurring these days from George Barna, 54% of Catholics believe there are many paths to eternal salvation. You can choose the one you prefer. Now, those Catholics actually aren't horribly wrong, because Catholic dogma says you don't have to be a Christian in order to get to heaven. Roman Catholicism is actually a universalist religion, light, but nevertheless, it is. They want you to become a Catholic because then you can be really saved and you can really be enlightened and you can really know the truth. But you don't need that, because you can work it off in purgatory. You can get there ultimately without believing in Jesus Christ. So that doesn't shock me. However, the percentage of evangelicals who agreed with them, you can choose whatever you want. Jimmy, you want to give it a go?
Okay.
Here it is. Hit it, pal.
What?
Pick your number. What percent of evangelicals say you can just pick whatever path you want?
Oh, well, yeah. So what of evangelicals, I'm going to say, based on what you've said already, I'm going to say it's closer to 50%.
37%.
Man. That's just staggeringly high.
Mainline Protestants, 35%. Pentecostals, 34%. I don't know what the mainline Protestants versus Protestants. And Christians who go to independent, non-denominational churches, 31%. Jimmy, the born-again Christians, 27%. That all roads lead to God. Mm. What great news. Because when you really think about it, is it Psalm? It's a Psalm. Just go read all of them. They're very good. And you'll trip it. Psalm 115, I believe. The kind of satirical, but the people who make these idols, they have eyes, but they can't see, ears, but they cannot hear, feet, but they cannot walk. And those who make them will become like them, worthless. That's what people experience outside of Christianity. I can pick my God. I can just pick whichever path works for me. Tell me that doesn't sound like you're building a foundation on Jell-O pudding. That's just flimsy. There's nothing there. One last note on the George Barna survey. I was pleased to read this from George Barna. I met George a number of years ago. He was at, I think, a Salem radio conference speaking. And he was talking about, I think, false conversions. And he was well familiar with Ray Comfort's work. I was pleased to read this. Quote, tens of millions of people who attend Christian churches every week, who think they're followers of Christ and eternally secure, do not seem to understand that repentance is necessary for salvation. That repentance demands a turning. Way to go, George Barna. That's another reason for the confusion. Not only are we not presenting the gospel rightly, we are not presenting the gospel response correctly. Ask Jesus into your heart, make Jesus your Lord and Savior. You commit to Jesus, all of which are nice sentiments, but they're not repentance and faith. We've got to get the gospel right because we need to remember that it is the gospel that converts people. What did Paul do? He preached nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Please note, he did not preach Christ and apologetics. He did not preach apologetics and a little Jesus. Christ and Him crucified. I bring that up because this is a limited source. I grant you that, and that's why I'm going to keep this person's name off of it, because I don't know the entirety of the conversation. I'm just working on what I've got in front of me. A pastor claims that Barron Trump is on the brink of a spiritual awakening. Okay, again, I'm keeping the guy's name out of it because I don't know the entirety of the conversation. We're just using the information that was distributed on the social media machine that Barron Trump is close to becoming a Christian. Here's what it said. This individual shared, quote, all the evidence for God and Christianity during a 12:30 a.m. phone call. And that he was, so in other words, he was using apologetics. Didn't seem to be working. Quote, I thought I was hitting him with everything but the kitchen sink when it came to all the evidence for God and Christianity. Okay, we need to be prepared to give all of the evidence necessary. But that's not the gospel. What converts an individual is not an explanation of textual criticism or archaeological discoveries. What converts the human heart is the proclamation of the law, the gospel, repentance, faith. We use apologetics to explain any confusion an individual might have, but apologetics do not convert anybody. Quote from this pastor, I thought I was really on. I was pumped. And at the very end, I came pretty much totally open-handed with nothing. But I brought up dreams and revelations. I said, hey, look, Barron, I usually don't go by this typically as evidence, but I have a friend over in Africa who witnesses thousands of Muslims coming to Christ through dreams and revelations. How do you explain that? Well, apparently, Barron thought that was pretty groovy. And quote, that is the only thing that stuck with him. Even though he appeared very close to putting his faith in Christ, very close. All right, we've dealt with the Islamic dreams in the past here on Wretched Radio, so we're not going to retill that soil. I do not believe that that phenomenon is happening. We can disagree if you would like. Even so, whether you think those are valid or not, anecdotes do not convert a human heart that isn't beating. Can't. Needs to be brought to life. How? By preaching nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And when we do that, rather than looking at it like, oh, how are they going to respond? I think our attitude should be so different. I think our first attitude should be, wow, I get to tell people about Him. That's amazing. And should they reject it or even become hostile, I can have pity, not anger, not or feel like I'm a failure because it is not I who does the regenerating. That is God's work alone. And instead of being torqued at everybody who doesn't repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, I can just go, oh, friend, you just don't know what you are missing. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.